to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes and chapter 11. We are continuing our series of messages on the great and precious promises found in the Bible. The last time we stopped at Proverbs, so tonight we're looking at Ecclesiastes. Verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Amen. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes is not one that you will turn to if you are looking for a comforting verse that contains the promises of God. In fact, this book has such a apparently negative tone that many think that the theme of it is vanity of vanities. As if this book is about life being totally meaningless. Well, that certainly is not the theme of the book. And I would suggest to you that the theme of the book must be something to do with the phrase that keep repeating over and over again in the book. What is the phrase that repeats over and over again in the book? What is the phrase? Under the sun. You can see this in chapter 1, verse 3, under the sun, verse 9. You see there too, verse 14. I've seen all the works that are done under the sun. You go down to chapter 2, and you see again in verse 11, There was no prophet under the sun. Verse 17, the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous. Verse 19, I've shown myself wise under the sun. And 22, and chapter 3, you have verse 16, and so on and so on. All together, in this book, 27 occurrences of that phrase, under the sun. The only place in the first 10 chapters where the phrase under the sun does not occur is in chapter 7, and there the concept is alluded to, though the exact words are not used. So what is the theme of this book? Or perhaps the best way to describe the theme is to use the phrase vanity under the sun. The word vanity occurs 28 times in this book. What Solomon is saying in this book is that life consists in more than can be seen under the sun. If you live merely on the physical, visible, and sensual plane, then your life would be a vanity. Solomon should know that. He wrote this book in his evening years after repenting of his backsliding and of squandering his life away in the pleasures of this life. Well, this explains why this book sounds so negative. Solomon is seeking to warn others from following that path that he trod. He's saying, don't go that way. I've gone through it, and I've experienced the miseries and the regrets. See to it, rather, that you live before the face of God, keep His commandments, fear Him, and bear in mind that one day you stand before Him in judgment. Now, this may still sound quite negative in some ways, but really, there is a very positive silver edge. For there is, really, in this whole book, an implicit promise. And that implicit promise actually finds expression in the only explicit promise in this whole book. Where's the explicit promise? Where the explicit promise is found in verse 1 of chapter 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. With the Lord helping us this evening, we want to study this promise under our series of great and precious promises found in the Bible. Let's consider this promise under two heads. First, what does it mean to cast bread upon the water? And secondly, what does it mean to find it after many days? First then, what does it mean to cast bread upon the waters? Solomon says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. What does it mean? Well, actually, commentators are not sure. If you read the commentaries, you'll find various different opinions about this. Some suggest that Solomon is alluding to the practice of planting rice, because rice grows in soggy, muddy, water-soaked plains or fields. Others suggest that it's an allusion to the ancient Egyptian practice of casting seed in the floodplains of the Nile when the water level is up, so that when the water recedes, the seed will be scattered all over in the plains. And others have written various stories about shipwreck and so on and so on. So we have different kinds of theories. Well, I wonder if this might refer to the feeding of fishes in the pond or the lake, so that, you know, after many days you get fat and juicy fishes back for your bread. Possible, right? But whatever the case might be, it is clear that Solomon is really speaking about doing good to the poor. Verse 2 clearly is on the same subject, where he says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Perhaps Solomon is suggesting that while helping the poor may seem to be like a wasteful casting of bread on the water, it is not really so. What is this principle to us? Well, naturally, it reminds us to be merciful toward the poor. It reminds us to be merciful without counting the cost, as it were. Over and over again, the scriptures reminds us to do good to the poor rather than to invest in the rich. The Lord Himself says in Luke 14, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not the rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made to thee. But when thou makest a feast, what does he say? Call the poor, and thou shalt be blessed. But let us, beloved brethren and children, remember to do so. Let us remember to do good unto the poor. The poor has a very special place in the heart of the Lord. So much so that some of the ancient fathers, they speak of God having a special category of grace for the poor, and that's why the monks and so on, they vow themselves to be poor for life, voluntary poverty and so on, because they see in the scriptures over and over again God speaking about the poor, caring about the poor, recalling God's people to care for them and so on. But if the poor has a special place in the heart of God, then the poor must have a special place in the hearts of the sons and daughters of God. We must not be tempted to think that it's foolish or wasteful to do good to the poor, since there's no conceivable benefits of doing good to them. Let us rather learn to cast our bread upon the waters. And let us also realize that this principle of casting bread on the water extends beyond doing good to the poor. That's just an illustration, you see, and a very important one. But really it extends to all that we would do that is intuitively right and yet may not seem to have immediate benefit. Think of speaking a word of grace in season. You know that it's right to do so, but it may not seem to be beneficial at a point of time. Oh, he doesn't want to listen, doesn't care. So what's the point? Well, cast your bread upon the waters. Think about giving a gospel tract to a neighbor. Again, it may not seem much. He may not even read it. He may not care about it. But you don't know what you'll be tomorrow. Cast your bread upon the waters. What about giving a sum to help the poor? You know, someone who is in need and is struggling one way or another. Well, you say, what's the point of giving? Well, perhaps the Lord would use you as a means of blessing to that person who is poor. What about giving to an orphanage? Somewhere that the children are being looked after, you don't know them very much. That can also be a means of casting your bread upon the waters. There are many different ways of casting bread upon the waters. The point is, beloved brethren and children, let us seek to live by the grace and mercies of the Lord, always seeking to do good rather than being calculative. You know, we live in a land of calculations. We all grow up learning to calculate. Right? Calculate every cent. Some of us come from a very poor family. We calculate every cent. And we grow up calculating every cent. But even if we don't come from a very poor family, we also learn calculating every cent. Because that's the way that it is in the land, in the society. And so we live according to this principle in everything that we do. We just calculate. Is it worth it to do? And if the result is not apparent and immediate, we don't want to do it. Well, the principle that Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1 teaches us is there are some things that you just cannot calculate. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. You see verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You're always thinking of the wind, which direction is it going to blow? And you say, if it blows in this direction, I will sow. But you start blowing and you want to sow, and then the wind change direction, and then I better wait. And after a while, the whole season is past. No more time to sow. Right? Or to reap. Rain is coming or rain is not coming. You know, you start watching the clouds and you get very confused. And in the end, before you could reap, the rain has come and everything is just flooded and no more. The crop has fallen. And the idea here is this. When you know what is right, cast your bread upon the waters. But now consider what our Lord's promise for those who cast their bread upon the waters. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days, says Solomon. Now we've seen how Solomon might have in mind the rich harvest that would result from sowing seed in a floodplains, or perhaps of feeding fishes. Whatever the case might be, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Solomon tells us in no uncertain term that we will find the bread we cast in the waters after many days. Now, of course, he's not speaking about finding literal soggy bread that we have cast into the waters. Bread that's been cast in the waters after many days, you take it back, even if you can find it, it's not going to be very useful for you. Obviously, Solomon is speaking in a very figurative way. He's speaking about the benefits that we may expect from casting our bread upon the waters. Apart from the fact that it's more blessed to give than to receive, we may not enjoy any immediate benefit of casting bread on the waters. But God the Spirit has promised, thou shalt find it after many days. Do a good deed, and you may not expect to receive anything in return immediately. But many days later, when you have forgotten that you have cast bread upon the waters, you will find it again. How will you find it again? Well, in the first place, very often, those who benefited from our good deed will return to give thanks, or to return to be a blessing to us. Some of you would know the story of Ignacy Jan Paderewski. Heard of Paderewski? Well, Paderewski was a very famous Polish pianist. One day in 1892, two geology students were studying in Stanford University, and they found themselves to be not having enough money to pay for their tuition and their boarding, and so they thought of a good idea. They thought they would invite Paderewski to perform, and then they'll collect the fees and everything, and then pay for their board and their tuition. Well, they made arrangement, and the manager of Paderewski told them, well, you got to promise $2,000, right? Only if you pay him $2,000, you'll come. And so they agreed. The thing they did was they then started planning and promoting the event, and then they had a concert. But when the concert was over, they discovered they only brought in $1,600. That's a lot of money in those days, but short of the $2,000, and that they have not even paid for the expenses involved in that in the event. So the two students went to Paderewski and said, "Well, we can't help it. We only have $1,600. Please take this $1,000 and this note, promissory note. We'll pay you once we earn enough." And they knew then that their academic career ended, because they had now to go out to work, not only to pay their debt, but to pay Paderewski. Right? But Paderewski took the note and tore it apart. And he says, that will not do it. Says, well, what you do is you take the $1,006, pay the expenses off, and then each of you take 10% from it, and then give me the rest. And so they did. Well, some years later, it was the First World War, and First World War ended, and when First World War had ended, Paderewski had become the third Prime Minister of Poland. In those days, they were struggling to feed the poor. There was much instability in the land, and so Paderewski needed to bring food in, and the only person who could help at that time what was a man by the name of Hoover. His name was Herbert Hoover. Herbert Hoover would eventually become the 31st President of the United States. But in those days, he was in charge of food relief, U.S. Food and Relief Bureau. Well, Paderewski called him and he responded immediately, sent thousands of tons of food to Poland, and so the disaster was averted. Later, Paderewski went to Paris to thank this man, Herbert Hoover, and Herbert Hoover replied, said, "That's all right, Mr. Paderewski. Besides, you don't remember it, but you once helped me when I was a student in college and I was in trouble." Paderewski cast his bread upon the waters and he found it after many days. Our beloved brethren and children, this could be the case with you too. Indeed, it will be the case for you. You love the Lord and walk in His ways. Because God's word cannot be broken. I'm not sure if Paderewski was a true believer, although he was Catholic. If he was not, the principle of recompense as taught in our text applied to him in this life. But as the children of God who cast their bread upon the waters, you will always find it after many days. If you will not find it in this life, you will find it in the day when the Lord Jesus Christ rewards His saints. Did not the Lord Jesus Himself say, "And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones," let me read that again, "and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Our beloved brethren and children, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. This is God's promise. Seek therefore to be a blessing today. You have been blessed in order that you may be a blessing. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And if you would be a blessing today, you receive a reward manifold many days later. God is no debtor to those who seek to magnify His name by doing good in His name. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And the Apostle to the Hebrews said, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." May the Lord bless us as we learn the joy of casting our bread upon the waters. Amen.